As you'll no doubt hear over the next year, 2011 marks 150 years since the start of the Civil War, and there is no song that more closely evokes that fight than the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Julia Ward Howe wrote those famous words, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord," in 1861, and since then, the song's become a kind of second national anthem. Dominic Tierney talks about the history of the song, the Elvis and the Judy Garland versions, for example, in the new issue of The Atlantic, which, incidentally, is where it was originally published in 1862. Dominic, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Was this meant to be a song specifically for the Union's cause during the Civil War?
Well, yes and no. Of course, as you probably know, the song began actually as a campfire spiritual back in the 1850s called Say Brothers, Will You Meet Us? And then even in these days before the internet, it went viral and turned into a song called John Brown's Body. Hmm. And this was partly about the famous John Brown, the anti-slavery terrorist. But it was also about a regular soldier in the Union Army who happened to share the same name as John Brown. And in 1861, Julia Ward Howe, who was an abolitionist and a poet, was visiting troops near Washington, D.C., and the party was bored in their carriage ride, and so they began to sing these Union songs, among which was John Brown's Body. And one of the members of the party, a reverend, liked the tune but felt that the lyrics were a little unelevated. For example, one of the lyrics went, "We'll hang old Jeff Davis from a sour apple tree." Mm. So he wondered if Howe could craft something a little more fitting. And that night, Howe went to sleep, and when she awoke the next morning, the lines of a poem began to form themselves in her mind, and so she jumped out of bed and scribbled them down. And the Atlantic Monthly, as you said, ended up paying Howe $5 and publishing the poem in 1862, giving it a title, A Battle Hymn of the Republic. Hmm. And it's quite clearly about the Civil War, but it's also a timeless song that speaks much more broadly to great themes in the American soul.
Mm. I'm going to ask you about that, but first I want to play a few versions that we've actually found. This is a Judy Garland appearing on CBS. I think it's 1963.
One of the greatest songs that was ever written is very seldom done on television, and I would like to sing that song for you tonight. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
That is a glorious glory there. She was also trying to make a political point, right?
Right, exactly. The battle hymn is actually bound up with all three of the great assassinations of the 1960s. Martin Luther King's final words in public came from the battle hymn.
I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
And the next day he was dead. And the last song at Bobby Kennedy's Requiem Mass was the battle hymn.
Wow.
And the song also featured after JFK was assassinated in 1963. So the battle hymn is kind of like the closer. It's the music that concludes great American lives.
The words from it also end up making it into literature. John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. John Updike's In the Beauty of the Lilies. What is it about Julia Ward Howe's words that make them so enduring?
Well, the battle hymn is it's a thread woven into the national fabric, and it has particular resonance in wartime. It was the great rallying cry of the Northern cause in the Civil War, and the song endured as America's anthem long after the guns fell silent in 1865. And the reason, I think, is that the battle hymn, it touches a deep chord in the American mind and in the American soul. It's a song of moral courage, of optimism, of agency, a call to fight and sacrifice together for a cause greater than oneself.
Yeah, I think it was even played at the National Cathedral shortly after 9/11.
Well, exactly. And all can march to the tune of the battle hymn because the battle hymn is America.
Let me play another version. This one is from 1991. This time it's Whitney Houston.
You know the words. I know you do. have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
You know, Dominic, people talk about Beyonce, but I gotta tell you, Whitney Houston, nobody can top Whitney Houston, aside from that. Well, let me ask you about something you wrote. You wrote that this song actually tells and foretells the history of American warfare, how we fight. What do you mean?
Well, the song is not just, you know, written on the arc of the American story. It's also a mirror on the United States. It captures the essence of how we think about and fight wars. We tend to see war as a righteous quest to smite tyrants and spread freedom. That was true in the Civil War, and it was also true more recently in Iraq. And the battle hymn's language of warfare has really echoed down the decades as Americans have gone into battle.
Dominic, in our research before we brought you on, we came across an incredibly moving version of Julia Ward Howe's battle hymn. This one is a little more recent. This is the Euro Ibiza party version of the battle hymn. Do you think this would have made you know, old Julia Ward proud?
Well, I think she would be delighted that her idea has resonated down the decades, even if it has mutated and gone viral into this electronica version.
Would you dance to it?
I would be delighted to.
That's Dominic Tierney. He's an assistant professor of political science at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania. His new book is called How We Fight, Crusades, Quagmires, and the American Way of War. Dominic, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.